Good evening. Turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. I guess I was so ready to preach that I came up way too early. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 kind of lays out a cycle that takes place for the entirety of the book of Judges, where Israel will turn away from God. They will turn to false gods, to idols. God will punish them for this. They will allow a nation surrounding them to come in and to capture them, to conquer them. Israel will repent, and God will deliver them. And this happens time and time again throughout the book of Judges. We see in verse number 11, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies." So we see in this passage that Israel's sin and its existence through their history, how they do this time and time and time again, and God has to deliver them time and time again. But instead of focusing on this sin, this cycle, tonight I would like to focus on the events, the decisions that were made that led up to it. I would like to focus on the actions of the previous generation and how they affected all of Israel's history. The title of my message tonight is Stop Settling. Stop settling. Before we get any further, I would like to open in prayer. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, I thank you that you've blessed us. God, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach. I pray that you would calm my nerves, and I pray that you would give me the words to speak. I pray that you would do it the same with the rest of the speakers. I pray that you would convict and that you would stir and that you would be with the remainder of the message, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn just a couple pages back in your Bible to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23 and 24 take place right before Joshua dies. It's basically Joshua's instruction, final instruction to the children of Israel. They've come a certain distance into Canaan, and he's basically sending them forward and giving them a final instruction as they go into the promised land. We see in verse number 7, the Bible says, "That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day." Verse 12, "Else if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you." And I encourage you to go over this chapter. The command is clear in this chapter to, as they go into Canaan, to drive out the Canaanites. I don't have time to go over the whole chapter, but Joshua instructed the children of Israel, and God was very clear with Israel that as they go in, they were to drive the Canaanites out of the land. Number one, we see the command of God. The command of God. God was very clear with Israel what his desire was, what his expectation was for Israel. The books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy are just full of commandment after commandment. We see God's instruction towards Israel. Israel was not unsure. They knew what they were to do as they went into the promised land. And I would like to say, I believe it is the same for us tonight. I do believe God has been very clear to us what his desire, what his will is for us. While God's will may be different with each one of us, the characteristics and attributes we are to have are the same. We are to follow the steps of Jesus Christ. Just as Israel was to drive out the Canaanites, we are to drive the sin out of our lives. Romans 6, 1 and 2 tells us, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Maybe you're here tonight and you're genuinely unsure of what God wants from you. You don't know what God expects from you. May I encourage you to get into the Word of God, to get into the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." God commands us and God leads us towards his will through the Word of God. Tonight, I would like you to just stop and consider one thing, just one thing that maybe you could do a better job of. Maybe you are doing something and God does not want you to do. Whatever comes to your mind, I want you to remember that as we continue and to ponder on that as we continue. We see the command of God. We see God's direction towards Israel. But turn a couple pages over to Judges chapter 1. In Judges 1, Israel begins to obey the instruction of Joshua and the commandment of God. They begin to go into, to continue into the promised land. And we see them capture and put to death a Canaanite king. We see them capture Jerusalem. And there's multiple other victories they have. But unfortunately, in verse 28, we read, "And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." We saw the command of God. We saw God's commandment to Israel. Secondly, we see the cowardice of the people. We see Israel settling for part of God's will. Israel knew what they were to do. Israel knew God's commandment. They did not forget. They were not unsure. This was a direct disobedience to the command of God. Israel did begin to obey God. They took a step of faith. They fought a battle, but they stopped. They got comfortable with where God had them. They got comfortable with the blessings they were in. And I believe many Christians follow the same path. Many Christians do begin to, they do get saved, and they take a step of faith, and they begin to obey God, but they get comfortable, and they don't continue. Many Christians, because they do not continue, many Christians will only ever experience what God had for their lives instead of what God has for their lives. Stop settling tonight. What are you settling for? Once again, what came to your mind when I asked the question, what God wants from you? What are you doing that you should not be doing? And why are we doing this? If we know it goes against God, why are we settling for part obedience? Stop settling for your comfort zone. Stop settling for part of God's will tonight. Notice in Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." May I say, I firmly believe that this generation did not get right with God, that they did not start serving God, because if they would have, I believe the next generation would have seen the works of God in their lives. What example are you setting for the next generation? What precedent are you setting? But notice in verse 12, "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them," the ones they were supposed to drive out, the gods they were supposed to get rid of, "and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them." We saw the command of God. We saw the cowardice of the people, the disobedience to the command of God. Lastly, we see the consequences of settling. The consequences of settling. Israel, for the rest of their history, experienced the consequences of this decision. They would have wars with people groups like the Moabites, like the Philistines, battle after battle, because they did not drive them out of the land. This was not the only time Israel settled in their history. They did this time and time again. They settled for a golden calf when they saw the power of God at Mount Sinai. They settled for an earthly king instead of God as their king. They settled for 40 years in the wilderness because they would not go into the promised land. They settled when they went into the promised land because they wouldn't drive the Canaanites out. They sacrificed for the prophets of Baal instead of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets of God. But most importantly, Israel settled for their sacrifices, for their laws and religious leaders, when the greatest sacrifice, the fulfillment of the law, and the high priest after the order of Melchizedek stood before them. They continued to settle. Yet we as Christians claim to know Jesus Christ. We claim to believe Jesus Christ. We have his word. We hear his word. We know his word. Yet we settle to obey some of it. We settle to follow some of it. Stop settling tonight. Get right with God. Go all in for God. By settling, we forfeit the will of God for our lives. As I conclude, during World War II, there was a famous general by the name of Douglas MacArthur. And he was highly praised and highly renowned for his actions and leadership during this war. But after World War II, a conflict arose, the Korean War. And there was a conflict between him and the president at the time, Harry S. Truman. Because Harry S. Truman believed in something called containment, or the Truman Doctrine, which was basically the idea that instead of pushing back against communism, instead of invading and going offensive, they would simply contain it. They would stop the spread. Douglas MacArthur would not stand for this, and on April 11th, 1951, he was fired. Previously in life, he had given a quote that he lived by, that he was willing to be fired for because he believed. He said, "In war, there is no substitute for victory. In war, there is no substitute for victory." May I say, in the Christian life, there is no substitute for victory. There is no room for settling. What sin are you allowing to remain in your lives? What Canaanite is in your life? What false god is in your life? Drive it out. Go all in for God. Too many Christians partly obey God, which in reality is not obedience at all. We see the command of God. What does God want from you tonight? The cowardice of the people. Why aren't you doing it? Get the Canaanites out of your life. Lastly, the consequences of settling. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for us. I thank you that you've blessed us, God. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the remainder of the service, and I pray that you'd be with the preachers to come. I pray that tonight you would help us to stop settling, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.